Crew members, what it be?
Heyo, come on, let's go.
Woo! What is good, y'all?
I'm juiced. We actually have some good news. Well, a little bit of bad news, a little bit of good news. Bad news, like we told y'all last week, Anthony is not here. But the good news is, he's actually only not here this week because his daughter's got a cold. He didn't want to infect us, but what we thought he was going to have to do with work has at least been delayed for now, so he will be back.
Yes.
I would imagine starting next week.
Yeah, you're probably right.
He'll be back, so the tripod will be back together. And we figured in the meantime, we would just do a little news episode because there's been some shit that's broken between from Activision to some cash grab systems to, you know, there's some stuff to talk about.
Absolutely. So how about we start off with that cash grab?
Yeah, well, let's just get that out of the way.
Absolutely.
It hurts my heart because I've fallen for him before. So
yeah, we could talk about that when we break it down a little more. So there were leaks that came out at the end of August that it came from the YouTuber Red Gaming Tech. The PS5 is going to be coming out with a pro version. Now, we're not expecting. Now, again, this is a leak. There has not been anything from Sony, nothing from SIE or anybody saying that this is actually happening.
Yeah.
But when it comes down to these systems, we know it's going to happen because they all fucking do this.
I was about to say they've done this before.
All right. So I just want to be able to break down the, like the way that the,
the like, system's different.
Yeah. Tit for tat. Is it tit for tat or tick for tat?
Really? Tit.
It's tit for tat?
Yes.
All right, cool. Yes, I said it right.
Titties for tatties, baby.
Go tits. If I didn't think I would have to like throw asterisks in that, I would say that would be the title of the episode. Go tits.
Titties for tatties, baby. All right, let's go.
Oh, man. All right, so the original PS5, which obviously we know is a $500 system, or $600, right?
You talk. I'll look.
Got it. So the CPU on this thing is an AMD Ryzen Zen 2 with 8-core, 16-thread, and the PS5 the Pro is looking to be a custom APU with 5 to 4 NM process. I have no idea what the fuck that means. It's going to have 8 cores. It's going to be integrated with the GPU with 30 workchip processors and 60 compute units. Y'all must understand, I'm reading French right now with this.
I was about to say, I don't think you necessarily have to read anything that you don't know that you can explain anyway. And 500, by the way. 500.
So it is 5?
All right. 500, yeah.
But like some of the biggest things about this one is that the supposed Pro is supposed to be lighter. Supposed to be like a few pounds lighter than what it is now, which really doesn't mean anything.
Which really matters because we're all always lugging our PlayStations everywhere.
I mean, look, I take mine on the road constantly. I'm driving.
Yeah, you have to. You have to.
I play Fall Guys when I'm driving.
And damn, those extra pounds that you're going to lose really mean something.
Absolutely.
Really means something.
Now, again,
I guess if you bought like whatever it's sitting on, if you bought it from Wayfair, maybe it matters. But I mean,
yeah, what like Temu, like those are the only places I'm scared of with like trying to buy anything. So
yeah, I mean Wayfair can't hold up a napkin. So I guess there's one sponsor we're never getting.
Minus one.
Yeah, Wayfair is like wish.com.
I love it. Yeah, Wish is fucking trash also.
Straight up.
I mean, I honestly don't see that much of a, like, I don't think there's any real difference in this.
They usually do in the memory, right? The storage, there's got to be more storage, right? There usually is.
16 gigabyte. Let's see here. The regular is 16. No, it's the same.
That's the same? Okay.
It's the fucking same. GDDR6. I thought I just saw something that looked very close to that. GDDR6. It's the exact same fucking RAM. The exact same RAM. So right there, what the fuck's the point? Explain to me the point of buying, probably spending $550, probably close to $600 for this system.
So, all right. I said all right before I was even ready. That's cool. I'm trying to see. Yeah, I'm going to look at a what's the difference between PS5 and PS5 Pro article from fucking 2020. Sure. All right. Yeah, no.
That's enough beatboxing for me.
Let's just get down to the nitty-gritty here.
I don't see any difference.
Of one thing. There's going to be a difference. It's probably subtle. We probably just haven't totally noticed it. But take it from me. Take it from somebody who has fallen down this rabbit hole before. Or not even rabbit hole. Fallen down the trap door before of these pro systems. Because I bought the PS4 Pro back in the day. I traded in my PS4. Got the PS4 Pro. A few weeks into having it, I wondered what the hell I even did that for. Not that there was anything wrong with the Pro, but there was really no difference between the PS4 Pro and the PS4. Everything to me looked the same. Everything played the same. I don't, to this point, remember if it had more storage, but if you're someone that doesn't play a shitload of games and is in need of that extra storage, it's not worth it. It just seems like this is... We would have to do some research to find out if I'm lying here or not, but it seems like this is only fairly recent that companies have started doing this. Like, I remember back in the day, I'm talking with, like, original Xbox, original PlayStation. Console generations were just, you had that system until the next one came out. Yes. They may have dabbled in a handheld in the interim or something like that, but it was just after Xbox, you waited for the 360. Yeah. After the 360, you waited for the one? Yeah. And same thing, but now you're seeing, it's always, you know, with PlayStation, it's the Pro, it's the Slim. Xbox, did they tease something coming out too? Or am I tripping? Did they tease coming out other system?
Yeah, that got leaked as well. That got leaked probably like beginning of August-ish, something like that.
It just seems to come off like they're just looking for like a halfway point money grab to the next console generation. So look, shoot your shot. It's up to you if you want to make the shit and people buy it. What am I to tell you what to do? But it just seems to me that, you know, halfway through the life cycle of these systems before they go to the next generation, you're going to get hit with another system because they're just trying to get more out of you.
Oh, absolutely. It's the same thing as all of the remakes and remasters and all the HD upgrades.
Yeah. I mean, the only difference there is you actually do see a difference. Like, when they remake a game, you will see better graphics. You will see better gameplay. When you get these systems, a lot of times, nothing really feels or like, okay, maybe the physical look of the console is different. But, I mean, it just doesn't seem...
Most of the guts are still basically the same.
It seems like it.
Yeah.
It seems like it. There's, I mean, the Slim is just slimmer, obviously. And I think sometimes it has less... like it may be like a step down, but the Pro usually are like there's something in there power wise that's different.
Yeah, like,
but is it enough of a difference to warrant?
So here's the thing. I do apologize to interrupt you, but now we could talk exactly about the PS4 and PS4 Pro because we actually have a baseline here.
Okay.
So the PS4, the regular one, had 1.8 teraflops as opposed to 4.2. with the Pro, okay? You had better CPU with the Pro. You actually had better bandwidth. Not necessarily more RAM, but better bandwidth. You had more storage, and...
Now, outside
of... it was just a little bit thinner.
Outside of the storage, which is obvious because you're going to see how much you have, ask me if I noticed any of that being different from my PS4 to my PS4 Pro, because I did not. I 100% did not. I'm not saying they're lying. I'm sure all that shit's in there, but if you're not seeing a real big difference, what's the point? There is no point. Because first of all, unless, you know, if you do what I did and you either sell, you know, trade your system back into store, sell it back to store, sell it to somebody, you're not selling it for the money you bought it for. Like, I'm not going to go sell my PS5 and get $500 for it.
Yeah.
So what I'm going to do is I'm going to sell it, probably get... $350, and then so I'm losing $250 there, and then spending $5 on the PS4 Pro, PS5 Pro. Nah, I'm good, fam. I'm good. I'm straight.
To go back to what you were talking about with the Microsoft leak, We're not going to be seeing anything from Xbox for the new system until about 2028, is what the leak said.
And that, but that should just be for their new system, like not a not an Xbox Series X Pro. Like, I feel like that would be time for the new systems, right?
Yeah.
Okay, and that makes sense. Yeah, that 100% makes sense.
I mean, because
when did these systems come out?
Yeah, we got this weird ass fucking X, like Series X. They're calling it the refresh. That's what everybody's calling it. But
yeah, see, that's what scared me. I thought that that was just a new. I thought that was just like an upgraded Series X. I didn't know if it was a whole new console.
It's a 2 terabyte Xbox Series X. All right. I mean, you get better storage right off the bat. And it looks like, excuse me, it looks like you get the Elite controller with it as well.
Okay. I don't know. Like I said, for me,
I mean, I'm not going by it.
It just doesn't seem like if there's nothing wrong with the system you got and everything's rocking and you're good with it, just rock with it.
Yeah.
Just rock with it. If you've got that thing that I used to have, which is probably why I had the PS4 Pro, which is whatever the best thing is at the time, if I can afford it, I got to have it. If I use it, I'm older now. I'm wiser now.
Learn things.
Yeah, put it this way. When you get smarter and inflation goes up at the same time, you stick away from shit like that. You know what I'm saying? Hell no.
All right, so we're going to go from one big company to one of the other big companies. Actually, we're hitting all three today with news.
Yes, we are.
I like it.
Well, this one right here has been lingering for a while.
This one's been lingering for about a year.
Yeah.
Yeah, so as of Friday the 13th in October, Bethesda is now, I mean, they now own, well, I'm sorry, Microsoft or Xbox now owns Activision Blizzard. So, first and foremost, I am going to tell everybody that Call of Duty will not become an Xbox exclusive. Microsoft has signed a 10-year deal with both PlayStation and Nintendo and other streaming services to make sure that Call of Duty does not become a exclusive, because that was one of the biggest things that fans were just really getting scared about.
I'm going to go ahead. Good. Great. I'm glad they did that. I'm going to go ahead and just call that a 10-year pacifier, because it is not going to shock me if once that 10 years is up, if
they don't renew the contract.
If Call of Duty is strictly Xbox.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, look, Call of Duty is the straight. It is the biggest game every year.
Yeah, why wouldn't you want everybody? I mean,
every year.
I mean, look, okay, greedy capitalism wise, I get why you would want that just for you. I get it. But maybe I would just be a shitty business owner, because my mindset is like, dude, everybody should have access to that game. Everybody should.
Fucking liberal. All right.
Oh, fuck me. Huh?
Here's a list of some of the stuff that is now going to be owned by Xbox. So from the Activision side, you're talking about Call of Duty. We already talked about Crash Bandicoot, Guitar Hero, into which a lot of people are talking about. They want to see a Guitar Hero resurgence.
Who wouldn't?
Yeah.
We love those games.
You have Sekiro, Shadow Die Twice, Prototype, Blur, and Spyro from Blizzard, into which IGN spelled Blizzard wrong.
What they do, Blizzard? 1Z? What they do?
No. B-L-Z-Z-A-R-D. They forgot the I. Blizzard.
Hey, man.
So from Blizzard, we have Diablo, Warcraft, Overwatch, which is also another huge one.
Enormous.
StarCraft and Lost Viking. And one of the ones that I don't think anybody was really paying attention to was everything that's under King.
King.
So most people that are familiar with Facebook would understand that as the Candy Crush saga, you know what I mean, Bubble Witch 3, Diamond Diary saga, and Rebel Riders. So they spent damn near $70 billion on this acquisition.
Cheap. Cheap.
I was talking with one of my boys at work, and we were talking about like the lottery, because you know what I mean, at one point it was up in like in the billions again, and I'm like, do people actually understand the concept between a million and a billion, and how far apart they actually are?
Like, how many millions are in a billion?
If you go a million seconds, it equals out to like 11 months or some shit like that. Something weird like that. If you go a billion seconds, it's like upwards of like 30 something years. That breaks down. Again, I'm wrong. Andy's pulling this up to go ahead and correct me, and I'm perfectly fine with that.
No. I'm just going to make it concrete. Okay. So, like I said, how many millions in a billion? This will just, for everyone who doesn't understand the difference.
Is there 100 million in a billion?
1,000. There's a 1,000 millions in a billion.
So if you had a $1 million bill, you would need 1,000 of those.
For a billion.
For a billion.
Yes.
It's insane. The amount of zeros on that is astronomically stupid. That's fuck you money. That's I'm not working again money.
Seriously, at least at this point, you're just into like Dr. Evil territory.
Yeah, you're not wrong.
$1 billion.
Speaking of that, Dr. Evil, the current CEO of Activision Blizzard, Bobby Kotick, it has been said that he's going to be riding this out until the end of 2023. He has been hit with a lot of controversy because of all the locker room culture that was happening at like BlizzCon and, you know what I mean, in their dev teams and all that type of shit. So I am personally excited to see which of these games are going to end up on Game Pass first, because that's going to open up a lot of fun stuff for us.
Indeed. Indeed. Indeed.
And I want all of it. Every bit of it. Especially since Anthony's talking about Call of Duty being as good as it is now.
Yeah.
Agreed. You know what I mean? I'm definitely waiting for that to actually.
Do you remember which one he was talking about though? Because I'm here.
The newest one.
Modern Warfare 3? Is that the new?
Was it the remake of?
I just don't remember, but I'm hearing people dog MW3 right now. Hard. I don't know why. I haven't played it. But anyway, continue.
All right, so I mean that's all but I
at
have
least
for this
at least that
article.
At least that saga is finally over, because we were covering that for forever. Like, will the deal go through? Can it go through? Is it legal?
Because
is it illegal?
Had the FTC was they sued the Microsoft,
Federal Trade Commission, yeah,
because of the monopoly that this could create, and because of that, we had a fuck ton of leaks coming out to where Phil Spencer wanted to buy Nintendo.
And you know what's funny about that now? Is that I understand so much more about how all this went down now that I'm taking a business law class. That's my first class in college right now is business law. So everything with monopolies and FTC and the FTC and all that shit, and it's like, okay, I get
it. So this shit's all just sitting in your brain and you're filing it all in the right spots. Yeah. Me, I'm stacking up papers waiting for them to fall over.
Yeah. I'm sitting here going through my chapters like, is this shit legal? Can they do this? Because, well, we said it before. We were like, the main issue is them trying to figure out, like, you know, are they basically trying to corner the market here? Mm-hmm. And, like, all of a sudden, if you want to play video games, well, damn it, you're going to need an Xbox. If you want to play something, if you don't want just, you know, a glorified paperweight, you better have an Xbox.
Yeah. Or just a Xbox account. You know what I mean? Yeah. You may still be able to play on PC, but just running it that way.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that's all I had for the Xbox one. Like I said, dude, it's been a year.
Yeah.
It's been a fucking year for that whole thing. And, like, Activision's been around since 1979. Blizzard's been around since 91. See, dude, that is a fuck ton of games. That is a fuck ton of money.
Agreed. Give me one second. You want to go to mine? The ones that I had real quick before we go to yours? So I wanted to bring this up. Like I said, it's a little sad. It's the end of an era for us old folks, but it is what it is. This is an article that came out a couple months ago, but we hadn't come back to the podcast yet, so I kind of had to sit on it. But it's Microsoft's shutdown of the Xbox 360 storefront, which is yet another blow to video game preservation. It's the end of an era. I'm getting this right here off of GeekWire. It's the end of an era. 7 years after it discontinued production for the Xbox 360 console, Microsoft announced a couple months ago that it will shut down the system's digital storefront for good on July 29th, 2024. This will just put one more nail in the coffin for the Xbox 360, just shy of the fan-favorite platform's 19th birthday. After the shutdown, it is to be known that users will still be able to play supported games on a 360 and download any digital games or content they already own, but will no longer be able to buy anything else. So that's it. Multiplayer games will continue to function for a time for as long as particular game's publisher continues to support it. So that includes things like, you know, Call of Duty, stuff like that. If you only have it for the 360 for the time being, mm-hmm. you'll still be able to play. And the end of life for the Xbox 360 marketplace marks another recent blow for efforts in video game preservation, because in March, Nintendo shut down eShops for the Wii U and 3DS.
Yes.
That's, I think, what it is. If you want to look that up, it's one of the DSs that's just getting discontinued now, I believe.
Okay.
It might be the 3DS, the 2DS, I don't remember, but one of those is I believe, being discontinued. Sony previously shut down the digital storefronts for the PS3 and the Vita back in 2021. In both cases, it took several generations of digital games off the market, some of which are now no longer legally available. So you're getting to a point now where, like I said, some of these games are just going to be gone.
I mean, I know people who still own PSPs and Vitas because that's the only place where you can find certain games from, from game franchises. You know what mm-hmm. I'm saying? So I understand the frustration in this. The backwards compatibility thing, I mean, I'm glad for the most part, like, I mean, we can still access a lot of that stuff, if not all. But, you know what I mean, if somebody's sitting three gens behind right now, you know what I mean? I don't know what you would fully expect.
Yeah. Now, have you ever heard of HitSave? It's no. actually pretty cool. And up until this article, I didn't know that they existed. What a cool little side gig to have. So HitSave is a nonprofit that's dedicated to the preservation of video games and their history. So that's really cool.
Oh, I love
so
that.
A quote from Jonas Rosland, who's the Boston-based executive, says, "The Xbox 360 was an innovative console that gave rise to great digital distribution models. We understand the logistical challenges of maintaining aging infrastructure, but it's a shame to see that legacy discontinued with the marketplace shutdown. Many outstanding indie games, arcade classics, and innovative experiences got their start as Xbox 360 digital titles. Game preservation is about more than just saving commercially successful titles. It's about retaining the full collective breadth of the medium." But it's pretty dope that there's even a group out there dedicating themselves to this. But yeah, I wanted to bring that up because, like I said, we're, you know, the older we get, some of those games you're just not going to be able to get anymore. And it's the end of an era.
Yeah, that sucks. Put it.
But it's cool that it's nonprofit too.
Yeah, I feel like we need to, we should try to get in contact with them.
I'd love to.
I think that's a good idea.
I will work on that as soon as I get home.
Roger that.
No problem.
So we were just talking about the Wii U.
Yes, we were. Oh my God. Well, yo, I just want to preface real quick that while everything we've talked about thus far is so much more important, and this really is not, but this by far is one of the most fantastic headlines to an article I've ever seen, and it's just hilarious. So it had to make the cut. Wes has the greatest article of the day, and it's this one.
Go ahead. You give him the headline, and then I'll run through.
I almost want to get in contact with this person and shake their hand. But
I'm not entirely sure if we can find the person.
So the headline is, fun sales fact, one new Wii U was sold in September. One. Now, mind you, this is a console that's been discontinued for 7 years?
Seven.
7 years. And one.
Brand new.
one brand new. Now, does it say who it is? That bought it? Don't say yet. I'm hoping that it's like a super parent that their kid wanted one and they just scoured the earth to find one and bought it.
I would love it if that's. I would love if that's the case. But no, I don't see anything saying who it is.
Okay, probably because people are going to be reaching out to that person.
Oh, gotcha. But
bro, why?
Yeah. So. I think this article is just absolutely fantastic. So the company that sold, all right, let me back up some. When every month, you know what I mean, all of these gaming companies, they get the numbers.
Sales reports,
yeah. So
how many consoles did you sell? Hey, PS5, Xbox, what'd you sell? Oh, 100 million, 200 million. Hey, Wii U, what'd you sell?
One.
And we're damn proud of it.
And then everybody's looking at them going, what?
Yeah.
Damn! Got that one. Got that one. That O-N-E.
I'm got that one, I'm got telling that you, one. If the show's still around, I'm going to be waiting for the episode of Pawn Stars 11 years from now when this person when this person tries to sell the last fully priced Wii U. The last brand new Wii U on the market was mine. They probably didn't even take it out of the box.
Best I can do is 25 cents.
Probably.
So, like, honestly, like I said, the funniest thing about this is the fact that it's a single Wii U in the United States that's brand new.
Didn't I just say that the Wii U storefronts were shut down too? Wasn't that in that article?
Yes.
Where are you getting games from, bub? Like, the storefronts shut down. Do they still sell Wii U games in stores?
Dude, it had to be like GameStop. It would have to be
either GameStop
or a place like Game Junkie up in Glenside.
Game Junkie would make sense, but
I mean, because they hold, you mean they hold all of the old school stuff.
Because if you can't, there's no way that this person isn't just a collector and that thing's never coming out the box.
Yeah. Yeah, man, dude, you're talking about games like Legend of Zelda, The Wind Waker, Nintendo Land.
I mean, that system didn't come out. I mean, that was a remake of Wind Waker, I believe, came out for the GameCube. It definitely came out for the GameCube. And then I guess they just remastered it for the Wii U. But Wii U was the Nintendo system that got shit on, right?
Oh, God.
Because the Switch was finally like, this is everything the Wii U was supposed to be, basically.
Yeah.
And the Switch is fantastic. Phenomenal.
I'm going to make this fun. I'm going to read this. Reception. Release. The Wii U was originally released in two bundles, a basic bundle and deluxe. The basic bundle contained a white Wii U with 8 gigabytes of storage. That actually ain't bad.
8 gigs?
Eight gigs. You know what I mean? Back in 2017, that was actually pretty good.
Yeah. Wouldn't hold a fucking DLC for one of my games now.
No, not at all. It wouldn't even hold a Call of Duty game now. The stylus and HDMI cable. And while the deluxe came with a black Wii U, 32 gigabyte storage, and black gamepad and stylus. Okay. In June 2015, the basic Wii U was discontinued in Japan, replaced with a 32 gigabyte premium set that included a white hardware and a Wii Remote Plus. Nintendo had planned to diminish production of the Wii U ahead of the release of the Switch. Nintendo formally announced the end of the production in 2017. I don't think this thing, like, it didn't sell for shit. I know that.
Oh, I got it.
In May 2013, EA announced that it would be reducing support for the Wii U and no games in development for it. See, that's the thing. Nobody wanted to develop anything for it. It was such an off fucking system.
All I did. Okay. This tells you everything you need to know. All I did was type in Wii U into Google, and I go down two and I get Nintendo Life and it says topic. The Wii U is absolutely garbage. That's what I get.
Yes.
So a couple things are. So for one, if your Wii U gamepad breaks, you would have to buy a whole new system or have it fixed, which is damn near the same price as getting a brand new system.
Fuck that.
Also, the marketing, lack of appealing third-party games, confusion over the gamepad, the name itself conveys it being a new version of the Wii when it was supposed to be its successor. Not enough compelling games, not enough games, not enough franchise variety. Just, overall, shit da bed. It's shit da bed.
So, to that one person who bought the brand new Wii U in September.
Oh, we salute you, buddy.
We salute you, and I know you ain't going to hear this, but if somebody knows you, and you do, consolegamingcrew@gmail.com, because I want to hear from you. Hundo.
But you know what? As shitty as the Wii U Wii U may have been, in the words of the great Guru Pika, there are no such things as failures, only early attempts at success. So if they did not do, if
there
that,
you go,
you may
what
never
you're about
get
to
the
say
Switch.
Right now is 100%
you
bad.
May never get the Switch if you don't at least get the attempt at the Wii U. That's all I'm saying. So
you're not wrong. Let's Looking go. At everything from like the basically everything post Super Nintendo has been basically working us up to the Wii U. I mean, talking about like all the Game Boys and. You mean the DSs and the screens, all that type of shit, and then getting the Wii U, which is basically the same fucking thing, and then it worked you right up into a Switch. I do like the evolution.
Absolutely.
All right, last article I have before we talk a little bit about the games that we've been playing is Nintendo has revealed the new voice for Mario and Luigi, actually.
It's like a kid, isn't he? Well, shit, compared to what's-his-face.
I mean,
who's been in the game forever.
I mean, he's 26, the guy that's...
Yeah, he's a kid.
Yeah.
He's a kid.
So his name is Kevin Afghani, and he is now the new voice of both Mario and Luigi. Now, he is taking over the role from longtime voice actor Charles Martinet. Is it Martinet or Martinet?
Martinet, I believe.
All right. And, like, the cool thing is that Martinet, he's going from being the voice of Mario to he's going to be an ambassador for Nintendo now. You know what I mean? Like, that's his role. His role is just to be just out there and just doing his thing, having fun. They're not even worrying about him doing anything else. But I love the fact that for this new video game, Super Mario Brothers Wonder, which is going to be coming out really soon, we're going to be having a brand new voice. And apparently it's not that bad. So, like, with this game, with the Wonder game, Andy.
What's up, bro?
How badly do you want to be an elephant?
I mean, bad enough.
I saw somebody make a TikTok or a meme or something that was Bowser trying to hand a flower to Peach, and then Peach got one of the elephant hats, and it turned her into a big girl. Big girl. And then he looked at her, his jaw dropped, he put the rose down, and then he goes behind his back and gets a bouquet of roses.
Hey, atta boy.
He knows what he want.
Atta boy.
He knows what he like. I'm not mad at you, Bowser. I'm not mad at all.
Hey, man.
But yeah, I just thought that was... I like the fact that we're...
It's a new generation, man.
Yes.
It had to happen. I mean, the dude wasn't going to live forever.
Pass the torch. It is time to pass the torch. And that goes for a lot of things.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Around this current climate.
Yeah.
You got to pass the torch down to the younger generation. You got to let them take control and run it the way that they see fit.
Life's a relay, man. You got to pass that baton, you know?
Hell yeah. All right. That was news.
So, now it is time to go ahead and let all the crew members at home and the ones abroad, we're going to tell you what we are playing.
You want me to start off?
Please.
Well, you know what? I'll start the joint stuff. We'll go into you, and then we'll go back into me. It's going to be short and sweet as far as the joint stuff. We played Chell last night. We sucked. So let's continue. What you got?
Hey, dude. I'm still sitting at... I think for points, I'm still sitting at the top of our leaderboard on our team, which is the weirdest fucking thing. That is an odd fucking statement for me to say.
Devil's in the details, baby.
Look, man. Dude. We didn't do well yesterday or last night when we played, but the first night that we played.
Bro, you and I account for all of our wins.
Yes.
I know. All two.
I know. I know.
All two of our wins.
I mean, even in our last game that we played with Bobby, I was shocked that we were down by two because it didn't seem like it.
Yeah.
The way that we were playing and the way the other team was playing, it seemed like they were rushing a lot more than we were.
And you know what? It bees like that sometimes.
True.
It bees like that sometimes. But outside, so what solo shit you got? What solo dolo you got?
Still running through Starfield. I am enjoying that bitch like a motherfucker. Dude, you get superpowers. Like you literally gain superpowers in this game. And I'm like, okay, cool. Let's fucking go. So, I mean, I've been running with that. I'm working on getting more superpowers right now because you get an option. You get a choice of like a whole bunch of them that you can just pick whenever you want.
Indeed.
But yeah, I'm just honestly I'm running through the main story a little more right now. I want to finish the game. I want to finish it out. I want to see what the end of the story is. I'm not worried about New Game Plus. I'm not worried about any of that shit. I just want to be able to just finish it off.
Oh.
And then when I'm done that, then I know that something is going to be coming my way from you.
Oh yeah. Oh, you're just gonna. What a segue. So for me,
I try.
So for me, I finally got into Star Wars Jedi Survivor. the sequel to Star Wars Jedi Fallen Order, which we both loved. And I mean,
so good.
All around, everybody seemed to love that game. So that's great. And this one picks up right where it left off, and it is just as great. So I'm going to give you a quick little synopsis. So Star Wars Jedi Survivor takes place 5 years after the events of Fallen Order. The game follows Jedi Knight Cal Kestis as he fights the Empire while searching for a place to hide from them. Cal's allies include Jedi Master Seer Junda, former pilot of the Stinger Mantis Green Droidus, the lovable small droid BD-1, and one of the last surviving members of the Night Sister clan of Dathomir, Merrin. Okay, and we're back. So, a new member, Bode Akuna, a rebel fighting for the safety of his daughter, Kata. Other characters include... there's other... You don't need to, I'm trying to go through this because you haven't played it yet, so I want to leave little things out. So, quick, short little thing of the plot. So, 5 years after destroying the Jedi Holocron, that's how it ended, if you remember in the first one. 5 years after destroying the Jedi Holocron, Jedi Knight Cal Kestis has parted ways with Seer Junda, Greez Droidus, and Merrin to continue his battle against the Empire as a resistance fighter working under Saw Gerrera. His latest mission has him teaming up with his mercenary friend Bode Akuna to infiltrate the Imperial capital world of Coruscant and steal valuable military data from Senator Daho Sejan. After Cal retrieves data from Sejan, you get confronted by some people.
Hilarity ensues?
Yeah, we'll say hilarity ensues.
Thank you.
Basically that's what, again, I'm leaving a lot out because I'm going to be chucking this game to Wes pretty much right when I'm done. What I will say is, so noticeable differences from first game to the second game. The second location you get to, mm-hmm. huge.
Okay.
Enormous. It seemed like the first game, now this game also has places that are got some linear places where it's not, you can't really get lost too much, but there are some places that are way more expansive than the first game, which is cool.
Yeah, because there was that one spot where you first, I think it was like when you first started working with your Jedi powers, you know, I mean that one planet to where you, I mean, you had like the huge like frog thing.
It was like floating islands basically. Yeah.
Yeah, because like, I mean, in that area was where you kind of really started learning things and breaking things down.
And same thing in that game when you got to like the, they almost looked like underground, like ice caverns. Yes. Almost. Yeah, so this...
Ooh, I remember that. That was fun.
I feel like this first map is the size of both of those.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, like it's huge. Now they give you a lot more of the meditation spots. That's still how you save and whatnot. It is still the same mechanics where if you decide... Okay. To rest there, anything you've killed
will come back.
makes
sense.
The skill tree is bigger. You now have, so you have a skill tree for your lightsaber, for the force, and for survival. There's only, you know, there's like one main path that you can focus on for survival. I think there's, I forget how many for lightsaber. I think there's one for each for like dual wield.
Okay.
Single-handed, stuff like that. And then when you get to the Force, there's a path solely focused on telekinesis. There's one solely focused on confusion. And then one solely focused on, like, your Force push, hold, stuff like that.
I like the confusion.
What I don't remember, just because it's been so long since I've played Jedi Survivor, did you have perks in that game? Do you remember? I feel like it was just the skills that you upgraded and that was it.
Could be right.
I don't remember perks. Now in this game, they've introduced, you have 3 perk slots available.
Okay.
And you can come across these. You can add on certain, like you can have a perk for like extra XP gains, stuff like that. You know,
nah, there wasn't anything like that.
Okay, so that's new, and I really like that. They have some cool ones, like you know, your lightsaber will penetrate blocks more, so you won't have to hit so much before you actually get through shields.
Okay. I like that. That sounds cool.
Now I found a spot in the very close to the very beginning where I had a meditation spot literally right after a room with like 8 enemies in it. So I was like, perfect. I am a product of the grind. I played Pokemon growing up. So hit the meditation spot, come back, kill, kill, kill. Hit the meditation spot, come back, kill, kill, kill. So I loaded up my whole survival thing is done and filled before I even got to the first world.
God, I love that so much.
Yeah, I always like to focus on survival first because I'm like, the longer I can survive, the better. Because the way this game works, if you get killed by something, you have one shot, I believe. I don't remember if you have multiple. You have one shot to go back, kill whoever killed you, and then you get all of your XP back.
Yeah, it was the same thing in the first one.
I don't remember, like, if you get killed and then you go back and then get killed again. I think it's gone. Like, and then you got to restart. Just get that experience.
They didn't do that in the first one. But, like, the big thing was if you got killed by, like, an enemy, that enemy would be glowing red. You know what I mean? The entire time you're running towards them, so you know who it was.
So what happens now is it's actually not attached to a person. It's wherever they killed you. There's, like, this gold... aura, and then as soon as you step into that, it gives you everything back.
Wait a minute, it
may have been the same. We haven't played Jedi Survivor in so long.
The same mechanic.
The gameplay mechanics are super smooth. I haven't had any problems, any glitchy shit. The story's great. You get a lot of customization right off the rip too, which is nice. You have the ability to if I'm saying things that happened in Jedi Survivor, it's just because I've forgotten already, but, like, you have full customization over every part of Cal, from his hair to his beard to his clothes to the color of his clothes.
I don't think it went that deep.
And the same thing with BD-1. You can find different parts for his head, his body, you can alter the color schemes, all that shit. BD. And you can even, for your lightsaber, for Cal's clothes and for BD-1, you can choose, like...
a theme?
Not necessarily a theme, like how you want it to look. Like, you can have him super shiny and brand new, or all the way down to, like,
dull,
beat up and has been chilling out in the fucking desert for years.
Glossy or matte?
Yeah. Basically, and everything in between.
Ooh, there we go. That's the name of the episode.
What's that?
Glossy or matte finish.
Works for me. I'd say I'm probably... Okay, so what I should say is I probably played, like, 20 hours, but I did a lot of grinding, so I'm not 20 hours into the story.
Yeah.
Put it this way, I just came across somebody I was looking for in, like, the first real mission I had to do. So there's that. But you know me, I'm also constantly out looking around, trying to unlock everything, because they still have, like, you can find the little orbs that give you extra force, extra life essence, and shit like that. The game's been great, and the what's the word I'm looking for? The different types of enemies that you come across right away. The variety of enemies that you come across right away is pretty cool. You're not just fighting, like, the same shit the second it starts. You got at least five or six different cool ass things that you're fighting.
Nice.
Excuse
me.
Whoa.
That was a
not bad, dude.
That came from below. That was the depths.
Came from below. I thought you said it came from below. I was like, what in the fuck did you start doing? Right? Into the powdered donuts, I think.
Okay, man.
But yeah, no. So that's been great. That's been a lot of fun. One little side thing I wanted to talk about. I didn't play it, so I don't have a lot on it. But when I went to do something last week, I don't remember what it was. Don't remember where it was or what I was doing. But Alex started playing this game called, well, started and finished this game called, I think it's called Lost Words Beyond the Page. It's definitely an indie game. She got it off...
You were talking about this yesterday.
I believe Xbox. And the story, and I told Alex, I was like, this is what I love about indie games, is the fact that they, for most indie games, the fact that they don't have the numbers in budget and also team to create these games.
What was it called again?
I think it's Lost Words Beyond the Page. I would recommend this to everybody. It's fantastic. It's sad, but what I was
puzzle platformer.
But what I was gonna say was, with these indie companies, they know that since they don't have the numbers and they don't have the money, their story needs to drive their games. Because we've said it all the time, a great story, can make up for potentially lackluster graphics, stuff like that. Now, this doesn't apply to that game. I'm just saying in general. But you're looking at it, so I'm not sure. I came in when she was, like, a couple chapters in. But the way it works is, I believe it's this girl whose grandmother is dying in the hospital, and or, like, has cancer, or she has some sort of disease. She's in the hospital, and she's very close with her grandmother. So she starts writing a journal, or, like, a diary. And, like, she's writing it as, like, herself being a superhero. And each, rather than having just, like, a cinematic drive the story forward, mm-hmm. you actually play through the cinematic, which is you're playing the platform. A lot of the platforming comes as you're jumping over words on the diary page that she's writing. and you can see like how the story shapes.
That's wild.
And I looked it up, and there's a bunch of people that introduced their games to their kids who are going through similar things. They had a grandparent who was dying, they had a parent who was dying who played through it, and by the time they got to the end of it, it gave them almost like an easier way to
handle,
to maneuver that situation, which is so smart and cool as fuck to begin with.
It's a better way to handle with closure.
But it was great. It was tugging at the heartstrings. It was very well done. And I told Alex, I was like, whoever the voice is of this character and whoever did the music for this needs a fucking raise.
Because so the they music were on point. Was composed by David Houston.
It was on point. Like... It got everything it needed out of you at the right time. And I would recommend this game to anybody. And like, you could finish this game in a half a day. Like, it is
yeah, you
not,
were saying that.
It's not a long game. It may be an 8-hour campaign, if that. 6 hours. Somewhere between 6 and 8 hours. She started it. I'm never out of the house very long. She started it maybe around like 11-ish. And I feel like she finished by around like 4 or 5.
Yeah.
So, yeah. If anyone ever wants to check that out, it's a fantastic game.
And also right now it is
free. Well, on Game Pass.
Okay, on Game Pass it's free, but if you don't have Game Pass, if you play on PC, I know there might be a few of them on there that still listen to us. I know right now it's 77% off. I just saw.
Sweet.
So it's like it's less than $4 for the game.
Azra?
Man, I gotta stop kicking shit. Alright. All right, we're going to let Andy... Nope, wrong. Fuck that up. We're going to let Anthony take us out, and then we will say our parting words.
Glorious. It's a glorious day today, and it's Saturday, and we're going to connect with CGC. You can find us at consolegamingcrew.com. You can find us at our email, which is consolegamingcrew@gmail.com. Our Twitter handle, by the way, is @consolecrew. YouTube and Instagram are both Console Gaming Crew. If you check us out, check out Boss Rush Network, which is bossrush.net. Great place. There's lots of things you can find there aside from us. Great people. By the way, Twitch should be returning at some point. It is CGC Podcast. We have co-op Mondays, and we're going to do something fancy for Fridays. I don't know yet, but that's where you can find us. And I hope you all have a wonderful day.
Goddamn, I love that. I just realized that I had our shit still turned down.
He sure did.
Fuck, my bad. All right, y'all. So, we'll catch you next week. Until next time, please stay safe. It is that time of year, so, you mean, flu and everything else. So, please wash your hands. You mean, do what you need to do. Play some fucking games, because that's exactly what you got to do to feel good.
Hell yeah.
And as always, y'all,
game on, baby.
Game on, everybody. Be good.